with your all on the altar.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we come to you tonight confessing. With our head bowed, and our eyes closed, looking up to the Lord tonight. We want to make sure that all our sins are under the blood, that we can approach the Lord as the church on behalf of our brothers and sisters that are sick and afflicted. Bible said to confess our sins one to the other, and to pray that we may be healed. Sin separates man from God. Sin hinders the salvation of people. It hinders their healing. It hinders the healing of others. And if we feel that we have any unconfessed sins, the congregation as well as those that would come for prayer, we want to make sure and put them under the blood. I am putting my sins under the blood. Though I have done that today in preparation for this meeting, let us do that. As repentant sinners, yes, confessing our sins, our shortcomings, in thoughts, in word, in deed, our very pride, his great sin before the Lord, our boastfulness, our evil thoughts, our criticisms of others, our judgmental attitude, yes, our irreverence in the house of God, our lack of praise, our lack of dedication, lack of meditation. All these are sins that we don't even consider. Lack of yielding to His Spirit. Lack of support for the ministry, for the word, when it comes forth. Yes. Lack of thinking on Him. Concentrating on the word while it is going forth. Lack of dedication in your prayer closet. Oh, we are a sinful people, O Lord. And all the ways of a man is right in his own eyes. But today, your word is that great mirror that we look into. And our reflection is ugly before you. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every sick person, Lord, sickness is an attribute of sin. Though it comes as trials sometimes. Lord, whatever it may be, you are God and you know. And we put all our sins under your blood today. From the pew, Lord, right up to the pulpit, I confess, I plead guilty, I am a sinner. Standing before you today, I have sinned in thought and word and in deed. Your people have sinned in thought and in word and in deed. Lord, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we bring all our sins and our shortcomings under the blood of him. We pray that you will forgive us. Cleanse us. Make us ready, O Lord, for this healing service. We beg in advance. We plead in advance. Father, for the healing of our brothers and sisters. Help us to enter into their feelings and compassion. Help us to be sincere when we pray as you commanded the prophet. I want to be most sincere tonight when I pray. Just like if it was my daughter or my son, Lord, or some loved one. I must be sincere with compassion and great desire and a feeling, Lord, that can touch, Lord, your people. As your feelings, Lord, touch the infirmity of your people, we pray that you will pass on that compassion to us tonight. Make us ready as servants of God, myself and Pastor Muggy, and Pastor Renner here, as the scripture commanded us to call for the elders of the church. And now, Lord, we pray that you will cleanse us and purify us. As you purify the congregation by your Spirit and by your blood, that we can approach unto your throne boldly and command the evil spirits to leave your children. Bless the word that will be spoken tonight and have your own way. We pray for those in Trinidad and Tobago and in Venezuela where that storm, Lord, is heading. We thank you for answering prayer. And the storm, O Lord, is breaking down in its power. We believe that it is the prayer of the saints, Lord, and is turning into a next direction. We thank you for that, and we give you the praises and the honor and the glory. Thank you very much, Lord, that we commit all things into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Oh, we are gathered here tonight to pray for the sick and the afflicted. It also includes, praying for our own salvation. I want to brief you on one or two things before we come to the point of healing that I think that will benefit, many of the brethren, wherever this may go. I want to speak a little bit on the subject: to receive God's promises, we must yield body and soul. Now, that song tonight was not by mistake, and it was not instructed to be so. The Holy Spirit led that song supernaturally, not knowing what I'm going to preach on tonight on yielding. The songwriter rightly stated, "Is your all on the sacrifice laid?" And we got it. For the blessings of the Lord, we must yield body and soul. And let me just brief you a little bit on that, which will tie into the messages that are now field tapes. And but also this will also blend in to give those people an understanding. We have come to the great vision of God's promise that was laying in the message for many years. People around the world, they are now waking up after many years of the prophet's decease to this great vision of the promise of God. And I want to send forth one admonishment. And that concerns the promise of God, and it concerns healing tonight, and any promise of God that you would approach him for. There is a right and a wrong approach. So to receive anything from the Lord, we must yield ourselves to him, body, soul, and spirit. And though we have heard this promise of God for many years, you could sit and hear it for another few years, there is a right approach to receive this promise. And that is, you must yield him body and soul. Now the example of receiving the promise of God was played out so wonderfully in the upper room for 9 days. And in the upper room, the Lord sent them there to go and praise and glorify and magnify God until the promise come. It was an yielding of the body, soul, and spirit. And to receive this promise of God to you here and to those that will be out there, those who hear the promise of God must yield to God, they all cannot yield part to the world and part to the promise of God and the things of God. No man can serve God and mammon at the same time. He would love one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You must give the Lord your all. If you believe this promise, you must make a full commitment, yes, to the Word of God and to the Lord himself, and you must make a full commitment to receive that promise of God at all costs. It doesn't matter what you have to lose upon this earth, what price you have to pay, what suffering that you have to suffer, you must make a commitment. The Lord made a great commitment to purchase our salvation. He knew all that would happen to him by reading the scripture. I believe he read Isaiah 53. And he's seen all the suffering that he must suffer. But in order to purchase that salvation, he made a commitment. The commitment was so great that none else could bear that. None of the disciples, nobody. And the commitment was so great that when he came to that point of suffering and to pay the price, he sweat blood. And he begged the Lord, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done." See the commitment? The commitment, "I want the easy way, Lord, but if I have to get the hard way, I yield." That is yielding. That is a perfection of yielding to the Spirit. The greatest example in the Bible that I know of in yielding to the Spirit of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the promises of God was displayed upon Mount Olivet. Yes, Gethsemane. You talk about torture, mental pressure, in so much that a man started to sweat blood. None of us have ever resisted unto blood, Brother Paul said. So the Lord resisted them demons on that mountain that day. And he used the word to say, this is the power, the hour and the power of darkness. You imagine how many demons of hell were loosed. Yes, to go upon that mountain to tempt the Lord to change his purpose. But hear the prayer of the Lord, I will never forget. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that wonderful? As much fear that as I have, Lord, I know what is going to happen to me every step of the way before it even happens. Yes. And as much blood as I see falling out of my hands and, you know, wet my vest from sweats because of the demonic pressure and the fear that overtook the Lord. He was a human being. Yes, he's still afraid. Not my will, but thine be done. He went and prayed, what, 3 times? Oh, my, no answer. And then he yielded. He said, then, if I have to die, I will die. And yes, he did not want to displease the Lord for a moment, but he yielded. And when we hear the promise of God preached to us, friends, there is a certain approach, home and abroad. And that is, you must make a commitment. And you must dedicate yourself to that promise and be determined that I will receive that promise at all costs. Yes, eternal life, the great promise of God, the rapture is hooked up in it. You heard that, all of that, for the past nights. I don't have to repeat it. Yes. Then when you come to that promise of God, you endeavor to contend for the faith of God's promise. There was a faith of God's promise. And we must contend for that faith with everything that we have in us. Yes, sir. And we must contend against all heresies and keep that vision of the promise of God before us. Yes, sir. So, in order to receive that promise of God, we must prepare our lives to be qualified for the promise. Not only believe the promise and say, I believe, but if you believe, then works will follow. You will start correcting your lives. Yes, sir. You will start working out your salvation. You will push out every sin in your life. You'll be against it. You'll hate it. You don't want it. Although you sin sometimes, and it will be sin that's so easy to beset you. You want to overcome that. Prophet of God said on the message called the token, he said, complete obedience or total obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token. Now that's a serious statement, brethren. Total obedience to the word of God entitles you
to the Holy Spirit.
And you will either receive that token or you will perish. You will perish. If you don't receive that token, that means that your rapture is going to leave you. Now, what is more important? What is more important, friend? Our house, lands, jobs, education for our children, university. Now, anybody that have that kind of a vision don't understand what they are sitting under. Brethren, if you know the urgency of the hour, you will try to understand that there was only one important thing today, and that is eternal life, and to receive that promise. And if you die before that promise comes, then you just die. You go on with the Lord. But the fact is that you must prepare your souls, beloved, and endeavor to prepare your children's souls. Yes, you should be airing that promise to your children. Bring them up in such a way to let them know what is important in this life. To let them know we are not ignorant people. We must read, we must write, we must have a certain amount of education, we must have a profession, we must do something. But friends, you've got to keep them looking at that promise of God. And if you keep them looking at that promise of God, they will understand that yes, I must survive here, but the important thing is that promise of God. That's the middle line. But if we will try to put certain great ambitions into our children, friends, you will dull their spirit to the word of God, dull their spirit to salvation. And that mind is young and tender. And if you start singing a song from a certain age about this great profession out here and great profession there, and you want to become a doctor out here, and you want to become a scientist out here, and I want to send my girl, my boy over here, you yourself do not have a vision of eternal life. What did the Bible say? Brother Bruce, that's your opinion. No, friend. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. Friends, some of us get be afraid of for the future of our children. This is the future of your children. The future of your children is the rapture. The future of your children is the token. The future of your children is to be sons and daughters of God. This is the future, and the greatest future, and the greatest preparation that any family could prepare for their children. Friend, is to point them to eternal life. Come on, tell me if I'm speaking the truth. My beloved, that is my ambition for my children. That is the ambition for the church. That is the ambition for everybody. Sure, why would I want to send my children out there in a certain environment that will dull their spirit, that will take them away from the word of God, don't even know if they are going or coming, and then make them church members full of lust, full of ambition, full of education, great big ambition for the world to become a millionaire, to become rich, you know, and educated. What is that in this world? Beloved, the world has that today. And they are not happy with it. Why Christians should sell their salvation? No. So we should teach them to yield to the Spirit. Yield to the promise of God. We should teach them that if they have certain faults, to get down into prayer, yes, kneel before the Lord, beg, and help them to overcome these habits. Pray with them. Yes. And you go on. There is an approach, and you've got to be desperate about this approach. Friend, the prophet of God preached the token in the morning, and then he preached desperation in the evening. Now, those two messages were tied up. And in that message, he said that unless you are desperate, you will perish. In order to receive this promise, when you hear this promise there in India and Africa and the rest of the world, you just don't go on with the same old life saying the promise is coming and I believe that promise. You better work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You better start preparing your life. Yeah? You better start getting the congregation over there to change their wearing and let them wear the proper clothing, wear the right shoes. Yes, sir. And don't cut their hair. Let them learn to speak right and act right and apply the ABCs of the message. And you just don't do it half-heartedly. You've got to do it in desperation.
Yes, you got to prepare for this promise with desperation. And friends, every family has a responsibility to put that vision into the hearts of their children from small. Yes. Instead of putting a certain vision of the world there and great ambition to achieve this and that, all will perish. When you should put that ambition upon them, children, we must make this rapture. Yes. Why would you think that my daughter would hear those stories at the age of 10, 12, laying at my side, and the next one laying at my side just 4 years, 4 years younger, and she would say, Daddy, I badly want to make the rapture, you know. I never forgot that. You see, and I listened to that, I say, a seed is planted. Yes. After a while, she used to run up on the side when I finished preaching and sit down there. And one day I look at her, she was about 5, 6, and I see her crying. So I understand, you know, what was happening. I said, why are you crying? Somebody bothered you? No, Daddy, I don't know why. Something I'm feeling that make me cry. Brethren, we should teach them how to yield to the Spirit. Yeah, how to forgive one another. Yes, how to you know, cherish eternal life and the hereafter. What has created that? I badly want to make the rapture. What created that? Beloved, I used to sit down and tell them of the hereafter. Yes, and I tell you, it excites those children. I tell them about the apples. I tell them about riding the lions. I tell them about the different animals and how you could call the fishes, you know. And they get so excited and they will ask, Daddy, we could call the birds, huh? And they will come and sit on our hands. Yes. Yes, and that had been embedded in them of a new world, that we are going to live in a new world. Yes, my beloved, where there is peace and where there is no sickness, where there is no fear on everything. And we should be molding our children into that, instead of getting busy with everything in the world. Yes, and when your children come near you, well, go away from here, you are bothering me. What kind of a father, what kind of a mother? You ought to develop an attachment with your children. Yes, that is why I love those stories there for the young children. Sister Renna, they have been a blessing. And the Lord bless your heart, you know, for taking that time off to send them to us. And I tell you, some of those little fellows who have been listening to those stories tell me things that I forget reading in the Bible. Yes, and they enjoy the meeting so much when you bring up them characters, they are on the edge of the seat because they are hearing the same thing that they believe. Beloved, we ought to create an environment. Yes, and if we don't do that as parents, how are we going to influence our children? Yes, sir. So, we must centralize our attention and have a focus. We must have a vision of life and a vision of that promise. Remember what I preached to you for the past 3 days, here and abroad. Friends, everything is tied up in the token. And when I say token, I mean the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It also represents the blood. Yes. And we are looking for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And if you have your mind centralized upon eternal life and upon this great promise that is coming, the ties of the rapture. If you don't get it, you will go to the tribulation, friends. You cannot go in the rapture, little brothers. If you don't get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is great power of the Holy Ghost, greater than the Holy Ghost that we have now, and the power of the Spirit that we now have here that make you cry, make you shout, make you dance, yeah, make you feel sweet and nice. That is great. That's the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. But we're going to get more of this power. And the power must be so great in us that it must transform this body from a flesh body to a spirit body. And you ain't going to get it, friends, by just being a church member. Or come to church because your father and mother brought you here. Or because you was born in church, my friend. No, you've got to get it by yielding your spirit. Alright? You must yield your spirit. And you cannot centralize your attention upon some great big ambition. Yes, I am not tolerating ignorance and say everybody ought to leave school. No, friend, but there was a limit to this thing. There was a certain amount of education that would damn your soul. Yeah. It will send you in the wrong environment, and when you achieve that certain profession, you will go to work in a different kind of environment, and you will be with a certain kind of people. Yeah, many women that start working have to go and wear a kind of a dress to suit the job. Don't you see that? To go to that university, they have to put on a uniform to suit that. Yeah, what kind of a nonsense is that for Christians? We must never behave like we are hungry and starving, that we got to send our children outside there. They'll have been in the wrong environment until they lose their soul behind it. Huh? We behave like the world when we get like that. Yeah. Little sister that come from Trinidad right here took the word of God. They won't allow her to wear, her Christian clothing. Yes, sir. My beloved, I tell you, she went on and the Lord blessed that young lady sitting here, fine young lady, unmarried, and she said, "Hold, take the job." Yes, give me what will suit my clothing. They said, "We could give you part-time in that kind of a clothing." Well, she said, "Yes, I'll take part-time." Oh, yes. And the Lord bless her now. My beloved, she went to teach in the elementary school. They said, "Wear your clothes." We thank God for that. Yes, when you make a sacrifice, the Lord makes a way. Yes, my beloved, we are going to live. We are not going to die without being a doctor or a lawyer or some politician or something. Let us yield our vessels to the Lord. I've got to hurry up. We have this prayer line coming up. Now, all these ambitions of the world hinder our salvation and hinder the moving of the Spirit. We worry too much about the future, brethren. Some of us worry too much about the future. If I die, what will happen to my family? If I die, what will happen here? Beloved, commit yourselves in the hands of the Lord. Three men died one time, and they leave three women, and God took care of them. Huh? Yes. Naomi, Ruth, and the next one was Orpah. And it pleased the Lord to kill all three men, to fulfill a greater purpose than making a future for their family. Out of that family of Naomi came forth Christ. And you see how the Lord works, my brethren? Some people have gone off beginning to think, if I die, what will happen? If this and if that. I said, commit yourself in the hands of the Lord. Seek the kingdom first and all other things shall be added to you. Yes, that's it. So it hinders, the salvation of people, affect your family, when we, lean to the world. So, when we don't want to yield to the Spirit, brethren, the Lord sometimes moves us with a little aches and pains and little troubles and little sorrows. We don't want that. Yes, we want to yield without his whip. Yes, we want to be obedient. You see how Jesus yielded without getting a whipping? We want to follow that pattern. All right. So, we got to yield to the Spirit. Now, friends, yielding to the Spirit for that promise of God, you must make a commitment, I told you. You must be desperate about it. When you hear that promise of God, just don't treat it as some little casual something. No, you've got to press in, and that means that you've got to work out your salvation. If there is anything in your life that is not right, don't you think that you will keep that there, and by it is going to leave you, and then you will receive the promise. Friends, you've got to work it out. You've got to press, you've got to pray, you've got to eat. All right. Now, when you come to church, wherever you are, here, Bethel, or around the world, there is a way to approach the Lord for any divine promise. Whether it be your healing or overcoming your weaknesses, or if you wants to overcome some great problem in your life, or you are seeking the Lord for something in your life that you need, there is a way to approach. There is an approach for healing. Now let me deal for 5 minutes with approaching the Lord to get more of His Spirit, more strength down in your soul to live a Christian life. Whether you be in your prayer closet or in the house of God, when we come to the house of God, brethren, you must have the right approach. And when you come to the house of God, you forget every other person in the congregation. Come in reverently. Bear these things in your mind. Reverently, reverence. Be still and know that I am God. You've got to come in reverently. Now, how on earth are you going to come in reverently unless eternal life is your vision? Unless the promise of God is your vision. So you see where it starts from. It starts from right there. You caught a vision of life. If you caught a vision of life, then you caught a vision of the Lord. You caught a vision of His Word. You caught a vision of the promise of God, the one that promised that. Then you will come in reverently. Otherwise, when I say reverently, it means that you will come in respectfully. Yes, knowing that you are approaching the house of God. Knowing that the Spirit of the Lord dwells in this auditorium. He comes and meets with us. All right. Now, when you come in that frame of mind, reverently, then, friends, you forget every other thing around you, and you come to the house of God and meditate. Now, the scripture says, as they think upon Him, Jesus stood in their midst. And friends, you have one of the greatest opportunities to have the presence of the Almighty among you. Yes, I don't mean for this to sound sacrilegious, but the visitation of the mighty angel, Revelation 10 and 1. I wonder if you and others where the Lord visits, if they are making the best use of this. Friends, you could have the great Lord standing in your midst, and you don't know how to yield to Him. You do not know how to approach Him. You do not know how to get the best benefit. Like the songwriter say, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Now the Lord could be going by, and He could come to the assembly, and He could move up and down in the assembly, friend. And if you do not have the right approach, then He will pass you by. Now I will show you something in the scripture. There was a blind man that could not see who was passing by. But he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Yes. Friends, and that man started to cry because he knew that Jesus was around. And he said, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And that fellow cried and cried and cried and yielded and yielded and yielded until it touched the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. And then the Lord was attracted. Yes. Now, if faith is in your heart and you have that vision down in there, something will reach out to the Lord. Understand what I'm saying, brethren. There was a need here. And a great need. So the Lord could be in our midst, but we fail to yield ourselves to Him. Brother Bruce, how to yield to the Lord? When you come in to the service, friends, meditate upon Him. Now you cannot meditate properly unless you bow your head and close your eyes. You will never benefit nothing by watching the farm. That is for children. That is for children who don't know much. And by looking in to see who is coming, and by looking to see who is leading songs, and by looking at your neighbor to see what is going on. Brethren, shut off everything from you. To meditate, shut off everything. Yes, sir. In order to shut off these things, you have to close your eyes sometime, you have to bow your head sometime, and then you have to think on him. As you think on him, he will draw near to you. Now, when you feel his presence, friends, and you feel good, nice, listen to me, children. When you feel nice, when you feel something moving in your soul, you feel sweet, that's the Lord that is near you. Yes, sir. Worship him. Worship him. You might be meditating so much. Just worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank him. Now, you don't open up your eyes and watch everywhere. Friends, you don't be in the natural and let all kinds of thoughts of the job, of the school, and the girl, and the boy, yes, and all those other things of offenses just pass through your mind. No, that's in the natural. That is be in the natural. And when you get in the natural like that, it affects the song service. It affects the preaching. Yes, it affects one another. Listen to what I'm saying. This is the way to yield to receive that great promise that is coming. That is the way to yield to overcome your faults, your habits. You say, I don't have nothing to pray about. What about the sins that so easily beset you? What about those things that you are fighting to overcome in your life? Huh? What about the sick in the church? What about the little brother that might die with cancer? What about the next little brother that might die with something else? What about that? Brethren, we are too unconcerned. Yeah, we have a lot to pray about. And then you meditate. Meditate, my beloved. Don't just open your eyes and be listening and watching to the singers and then hearing the song. You did not come in here to hear songs only. No. Those songs, my brothers and sisters, is to help you to be pulled up into the Spirit. Yes, I'm talking to young children. I'm talking to older people. Yes, some people, they get so much in the natural that they don't pray. They don't meditate. They don't sing, Redwin. How are you expect to get into the Spirit unless you meditate? Unless you pray? You cannot follow your feelings. Sometimes you come in there and you don't feel nothing. The reason you are not feeling anything is because you're not keeping your mind on him. Keep your mind on him. Yes. You feel to lift your hands and pray, brethren. If you don't pray, you will enter into temptation. You will start thinking about a job. You will start thinking about an offense. And, my beloved, forgive those that trespass against you. Yes, pray for them. If you cannot love them, pray for that person. Yes. And you start worshiping the Lord. You start confessing your sins. Bow before the Lord. Kneel before him. In your prayer closet, in the church, there is no barriers why you cannot kneel. Close your eyes. Clap your hands. Sing the songs of Zion. Yes. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is going to sing at the same time, especially in a prayer meeting with the music. Friends, somebody might feel that of the Lord just to meditate on the Lord. Just to meditate on the Lord. Another person might have a zeal for singing. Go ahead and sing. Yes. The next person over there might have a zeal just to pray out loud. Yes. Now, all of us in here, beloved, cannot have the nature of, praying out loud. Or everybody cannot have the nature of being silent either. Anytime you see everybody is silent at the preached word of God, or when the Spirit of God is moving, or when the singing is going on, there is formality. Yes, coming into the church. Yes, a real spiritual church, some will be making some noise out here. Some will be meditating around here. Yeah.
Some will be dancing around you. And another people, brothers and sisters, they have such a nature that they're just in the spirit and meditating on the Lord. Yes. But we should never get into a formality where everybody just sit there and say, well, I don't have the nature to pray out. Now, those same people, Brother Renner, that say that they don't have a nature to pray out and make noise before the Lord, joyful noise, you hear them in the churchyard. And you will know if it is a formality or if that's the real nature. So everybody could adopt a certain nature, well, our nature is not to pray out. But wait a minute, when you're out there, you could laugh that everybody hear you. You could talk with a certain volume that everybody can hear you. Yeah, you could laugh more scandalously than anybody else. That's the truth. So now, it's not a matter that everybody should take a certain, you know, thought and say, well, I just have the nature. I don't have the nature to really pray out. No, you are lazy. And there could be some pride in your heart. I'm telling you the truth. There could be some formality. There could be some starchy business about you. Yes. And following others because the others are not praying out and they are not, you know, expressing themselves. You want to take on that same kind of a form and follow one another. My beloved, worship the Lord in the way that the Lord made you. There are people that come to church, brethren, and come to church at a loss like they don't even know where they are. Oh, beloved, sit down there and song is going on, they won't sing. Huh? People praising the Lord, and if they've got to praise the Lord, you have to tell them praise the Lord. Yeah, now everybody lift up your hands and praise the Lord. So now you find at that moment everybody get expressive now. And they get expressive and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Jesus said, these people draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now the Lord wants a heart worship. He wants you to worship Him from the heart. Yes. He wants you to express yourself to Him. Yes. Too many eyes are open, beloved, when worship is going on, when prayer is going on. That is not prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is not everybody sit down there and hearing the song and watching around and gazing around and their eyes are open. Beloved, prayer meeting is something different. You've got to get there, beloved, and press the battle and pray and press my brother into the spirit. Yeah. The law and the prophets of unto John, since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and men press it into the kingdom of God. You see how you're going to get that token? You see how you're going to get that outpouring? You've got to press into it. And the pressing starts right in your prayer closet. And if you are pressing as you're supposed to press in your prayer closet, you will come into the church of God. Young people have that habit, my beloved. They are nice children. They dress nice. They are obedient. They want to serve the Lord. But brethren, they don't worship. Yes, their eyes are open and watching everywhere. Watching back, they're watching in front. That ought not to be. The rapture is going to come and leave you. I'm speaking to my own daughters. I'm speaking to your children if you are guilty of it. Yes, I'm not there to see what you are doing. But friends, the Lord wants you to come in here and make Him the center of your attraction. That is why for healing, Brother Branham said, he said, now make Him the center of your thoughts. Now you see the yielding for the healing. Right. Now make Him the center of attraction. Yes, and he go on. He said, you don't have to bow your heads now and close your eyes unless you are asked to when I am praying for the sick. But beloved, I am talking about you coming to the house of God. You must not be in the next world. Beloved, even though you have your eyes closed and you're listening to the songs, you must be thinking on the words. Yes. Thinking on the words, believing the words, it's for me. Yes, these things get you in the spirit. Jesus could be passing here, friend, that mighty angel could be there every night. Because I feel Him, brother. We know that He's among us. But what I am talking about is you receiving the benefit. There is an approach to it. Yes, so I come here, I feel that great spirit of the Lord. Brother, that mighty angel is here. Yes, but I want to see each one of you receive the best benefit. That is what I'm saying. And if you don't know how to approach to receive that benefit, you won't get it. You just won't get it. You cannot come in here and sit down. I'm speaking generally. You cannot come into a church and sit down there and be thinking of your job. And youths watching around with their eyes open and firm. And nobody whispering a prayer. Nobody have their head bowed. Nobody meditating. You cannot get the blessing of God like that. We've got to change that wherever we are. And we've got to yield to the Spirit. I hope you're understanding me. And don't think that I am rebuking you.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord.
Nobody should tell you to do a half day fast. Nobody should tell you to do a day fast. Friend, you must see that need in your life. And do your fasting in secret. You must see that in your life. And do your praying in secret. Yes, young men ought to come together as we used to come together. And say, we are going into the church, four or five of us, and we're going to spend a day with the Lord and fast and pray. Beloved, that is spirituality. That is Christianity. Yes. All night prayer meeting. Yes, sir. Some of us don't have the zeal for it, but at least you can make a day with the Lord from the morning to the evening. Yes. What are we doing? We are trying to overcome this lust that is in our bones and in our flesh. Yeah. We're trying to overcome these kinds. Oh, beloved, when service is over there, young fellows must not be talking about women and which girl like the next one and which, my beloved, girls must not be talking about boys. You should be talking about the word of God that you hear from the pulpit. Yes, that is yielding to the flesh. But we got to yield to the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying about yielding to the Spirit? Brethren, try the next service. Come in here, my beloved. Bow your head. Come in here, my beloved, meditate on the Lord. Forget people around you. Yes, worship the Lord. Pray. If you feel like worshiping the Lord loud, pray out. Yes, sir. If you feel to meditate, go ahead. You feel to bow, you feel to kneel, get down on your knee and start praying. Yes, sir. That is what the Lord, and you're going to see how the same Spirit that is among us and comes with the preacher and everything, you're going to see how it comes into your life. Then when you start walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh means the ambition and desires of the world. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Do we feel that we have a need?
Yes.
Sure, beloved, if your mind is centralized on the Word, on the things of God, my beloved, you ought to be happy in church. Church must never become a formality. In such a way, friends, that you cannot enjoy the word of God and punctuate it with an amen and support your pastor, support Brother Renner, support the preachers. You young fellows should be supporting the word and be on fire. Now, you know why it is that sometimes people cannot do that in a congregation? They cannot do that because they did not do the ABCs of meditating, praying, worshiping, singing and getting in the Spirit. So now if you did not get in the Spirit at all, the preliminaries of the meeting before the Word, friend, you are just dry and you sit down there. Yes, if your mind had been busy upon the natural for the whole day, then brothers, when you come in here, it takes an hour, hour and a half. Yes, and if you don't watch sharp, 2 hours. Yes, for you to start getting in the Spirit. Yes, you're like an old-time car that they used to start with a crank handle. I'm talking to a church like that. You know them old prefect? You never had them here? Old prefect, they send down to Trinidad, my brother, no switchy, and you have to have a crank handle. And then in the morning, you take that crank handle, cranking. And then you hear, my brother, start up, you pull out the crank handle before it kill you. Yes. Now we don't want to be like that here or in India, my brother, or Bethel. We don't want to be like them old prefects. No, we, my brothers and sisters, we live in a different age. We just turn the key. And the time we come in here, we just turn the key and you must hear the engine rumble. Yes, sir. Let us try that the next service, sir. I believe too many people are quiet in here, Brother Ken. Too many people, some people not worshiping, others killing themselves. Yes, I look at Sister Mary here in front and right to the meeting with her hands up like that and just worship the Lord. I tell you, my brother, that should make every young person ashamed. How old is she? 80? Huh? 82? Well, I tell you, the Lord bless your heart. You look like a lady of 60 years old. Yes, sir. And you come in here and just pray. I see others, my brother, just meditating. Now we have that in Bethel too. I'm speaking to Bethel too. My brothers and sisters, and we have these stiff, starchy, formal kind of people. Yes, with the world on their mind. Yes, they come in there as spectators. I'm spectating, my brother, who is worshiping. And even though somebody cry out hard and say amen, or dance or something like that, it even offends some of those people. Even because they are out of the spirit. People should be dancing in this congregation. You have the greatest promise, my brother, that was ever made to human beings. Right up near the rapture, my brother. What is the matter with us? Let us come out, my brother. Young fellas can't even dance for the Lord, beloved, but when they backslide, they can dance for the devil. Yeah, women who never dance for the Lord in church. My when the time they backslide, you hear them dance for the devil. One man sat inside of here, I know, remember that? Huh? Sat down here for 30 years or 35 or 40 years, I don't know. Never danced for the Lord one day. He leave the church because we condemn dancing. He want to go and dance for the devil. My God, how cheap a man could sell his soul. So you see, brother, it was formality, church membership, but now he could dance for the devil. Isn't that a rebuke in the face of the Lord? Yes, we ought to sing, brethren, we ought to clap. We ought to make a joyful noise. Nobody should tell you to lift your hands and worship the Lord. Neither in Bethel, my brother, everywhere. You feel moved of the Spirit, and if you are in the Spirit, my beloved, you are going to worship the Lord in any case. Yeah. Look at this man here, could hardly speak, my brothers and sisters. Huh? But he was training his voice to preach to you. Train his voice to say amen. To support the word of God. Every one of us ought to open up our mouths, my brother, when these ministers are preaching. Yes, I'm no amen preacher neither, but beloved, you ought to support the word of God. Then it shows that you are in the Spirit. Yes, let us rise, brothers and sisters, and do what is right. Okay. And when you come to the next service, beloved, let us approach, like I said here tonight. Try it out. Try it out, it's going to feel better. Lift your hands. Worship the Lord. Yes. You hear the word of God, beloved? Amen. You hear the singing? Sing. Yes. You just cannot go down into a formality. No. You've got to stand right there, worship the Lord in the way that He designed you, made you. That is the thing that I'm trying to get over. But when you have ambition on your mind, big education, university, your mother pushing that in your mind from since you were 12 years of age or 5 years of age, mother, father putting that into your mind, then you come here, my brother, as a wallflower. You become so stiff and starchy because, my brother, before you can become a doctor, you are already a doctor in your mind. You are already a politician in your mind. There are wonderful people outside there. Yes, and no matter what they believe, you know they yield. They know that they got to do something for the Lord. They yield to the Lord in some way. But look at what we have in our hands today. My beloved, think of the great one that is standing in our midst. We got to be reverent, my brother. We got to yield. We got to be like blind Bartimaeus. Now, the same way that you yield for your salvation, friends, is the same way that you yield for your healing. All right? Now I will lay down this and then call Brother Kenny and Brother Renner. You have heard enough that healing is not a fable. It did happen in the Bible, and it happened with the servants of God. All right. Now when we come to pray for the sick, then you, as the congregation, the right approach is to yield to the Lord on behalf of the sick. Now, if you don't yield on behalf of your own salvation, your own children that are getting worldly in your house, then you would not have the spirit to yield on behalf of the sick and the afflicted in our midst. Beloved, people that are sick in our midst is our concern. You must be able to enter into that compassion. Yes. Just like if your son was sick, your daughter was sick, your mother, your father. Beloved, you had to start thinking, or if that was me, what my case would be today, how I would be feeling to know that I may die and leave my two children, I may leave my wife. It's a serious affair when somebody is sick in the house of God and it is our concern. How we could go to sleep and know that somebody is sick with cancer, another person is sick with cancer, they may die if the Lord don't intervene. How you could go and sleep? Beloved, that should be upon your mind in so much that when every time you turn and you're halfway wake up in the night. Brethren, you should so love that person and say, Lord, help that person. Heal him, Lord. Heal that lady, Lord. Beloved, that is how we have to behave. Somebody could not be sick like that and Brother Bruce sleeping and forget all about it. No, beloved. With every nod, yes, I turn in the bed. I'm a light sleeper. And I wake up. Lord, help that person. Yes, the Lord want me to pray longer. Yes, then I wake up and pray. Yes. Now what does it? Compassion. I wish that I could do more for the saints of God. Yes. I see the impossible cases, my brother. I say, God send that to me. Now that's your approach. Right there in your congregation, the right approach is yield on behalf of the sick. How do you do that? Lord, let him be healed tonight. Oh Lord, I believe that that could be done. I am not going to doubt in my heart. You could do anything. Yes, sir. Compassion. Oh God, look at that brother that is sick. Look at that sister that is sick. I cannot dare to look upon them. Compassion must come into your heart. Yes. What about if that was your son, your daughter? Yes. Then you pray in that compassion. Then, my beloved, your part is to agree with the elders. You agree, the Bible said, if there be any two that shall agree, touching anything upon earth, and they pray, it shall be granted. So now when that prayer is going forth, don't doubt in your mind and say, well, that will never happen because I heard a lot of people, you know, who they prayed for and they are still sick. That has nothing to do with it. Even though the party dies, that has nothing to do with it. Brother Branham said, if 100 people pass through the prayer line and they die, he's still going to continue to pray for the sick. Because he said, you shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Now, this is your part that you are praying out, brethren. You are going to agree with the elders in prayer. You are going to have unity on the request that we are making to the Lord. Then we are going to have reverence that nobody should be walking in and out while the prayer is going on. And we give you the liberty, always, brother, give the liberty. If somebody thinks that they don't want to stay here for the length of time for the prayer meeting and they choose to go home, it would be better that they go home instead of becoming impatient in the congregation. Don't you find that? And then they become irreverent, then they begin to doubt, and then they begin to, you know, become impatient and think the wrong thoughts. No, whoever is there must make him the center of their attraction, center of faith. So now we give you the opportunity even tonight. Yet if you think you don't want to stay a whole hour and a half, then you are free to go home. Always do that. Yeah, let them go home. They don't have to stay here. Brother Branham used to send the rest of them away. Because when they stay here beyond their will, then it hinders prayer. And it brings doubt. And there is a break of unity. Yes, sir. So, the next thing that the congregation must do is that they ought to confess their sins. Because that sin that you commit could hinder the healing of somebody.
And I will tell you a dangerous thing that could happen. This spirit, yes, sir, could come out of this person and enter you with that sin there. Yes. Brother Branham was casting out an epileptic demon, right? One time, and there was 26 people there that was mocking him and unbelief in their hearts. The epileptic demon lead this man and jump on 26 people, and he was frothing and falling everywhere. You see, reverence in the house of God. If you know you have certain sins that you never confess, some sin of adultery or fornication, you better make that right. Yes. And, friends, now the sick that is coming, the right approach is when you get sick, start confessing your sin to God. Because sickness is an attribute of sin. Go back in your life, wherever it is. Go back. No matter how much you think that is right. If it bothers you, anything that bothers you, put it under the blood. Yes. Another thing you've got to start doing, my brothers and sisters, after you confess your sins, make a sacrifice for the Lord. Make a sacrifice for the Lord. Give some kind of a charity. Yes. Give some kind of a thanksgiving. Yes. Give something away. Do something good for a brother. Do something good for a sister. Pray. Start praying for somebody. Maybe the Lord is trying to shake you up and try to make you understand that you ought to be more concerned. Yes. So you start praying to God and you start being generous in your heart. Give something away. Then, my beloved, you who are sick, I'm talking to, start praying desperately as you never prayed before. Yes. Maybe you're short in prayer and the Lord wants to push you to prayer. Maybe he wants to push you into compassion. Yes. You know, Brother Branham got a blessing of compassion one time that he never had. And he got it from seeing his own daughter dying with crossed eyes. Crossed eyes. He said, since that time, he prayed for thousands of children with crossed eyes, and they were healed. He said, because he could enter into that compassion. So sometimes, the Lord is training us by allowing sickness upon us, that we might have compassion for one another. Compassion for people. Yes. Compassion, my brother, for people later when the Lord sends you out with a ministry. So everything is not sin. Some is trials. Others are training. But yet, we have to put all these things under the blood. All right. Then the Bible told us here in James 5 and 13 to 18, it says, call for the elders of the church. Call for the elders. Now, if you have something against the elders, then that is trouble. If you are disobedient to your elder, you feel convicted to call for him. If you want to walk your own way and you have a certain attitude towards that elder, you can call him. Cannot call them. So that is James 5, 13 to 18 and Mark 6 and 13. And then it says, let the elders anoint them with oil. Yes, sir. And pray for them. Pray over them. So several elders could be praying at the same time over a person, you know. Expressing their requests and their desires and, you know, their compassion. And then the Bible said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he had committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. And then the Bible commanded us that we ought to pray for one another and forgive one another. So when you are coming for your healing, make sure you don't have nothing against anybody. Yes, put it right under the blood. And say, Lord, that person offended me and I, you know, held this thing against them in my heart. I forgive them tonight. And Lord, I will make it right tomorrow. If they are within reach, make that right with one another. Why? Because if you don't do that, then your sins will remain. And then it will hinder your healing. Yes, it will hinder your prayer. So then we must have the right approach unto the Lord.
Then the Bible says, anoint them with oil, and they shall be healed. Now, if that is the Bible, and the Bible tells us to do thus and thus, I believe that he would fulfill his promise. All right. Now you take a mechanic. I don't know nothing about mechanic. My car shut down, and he comes there, and he says, give me a spanner. All right, I give him the spanner. All right. He says, you have a screwdriver? Yes, I have the screwdriver. Yes. He say, you have a pair of points there? Give me it. Brother, I do what the man say, and he will start the motor car. All right. It was an approach. All right. Now, this is not a motor car we're going to fix. This is the healing for your body. And the healing is secondary. This is a minor, Brother Brahman say. If we could preach the word and fix your soul, I think that same anointing and the same spirit could fix your body too. Because it's the minor. And how many believe that these men here, they preach the word of God that can fix your soul? I'm not hearing you. Yeah, I believe you could fix the soul. Isn't this the same anointing, brothers and sisters, that is going to be upon them to lay hands upon you and pray for you? I believe it could fix the body too. Yes, by the Spirit of the Lord, by the grace of God. So now what we are going to do is to pray for the sick. Yes, sir. The Bible is a call for the elders, and that is what you are doing tonight. If you cannot, you know, come to the church and you lay down on a bed, well, you call for the elders. If you come to church, you are still calling for the elders. Yes, and that is what we're going to do, call for the elders. Yes, and then they are going to pray the prayer of faith, the Bible said. They're going to pray the prayer of faith. That's all that I could do, is to pray the prayer of faith. Friends, and I am trying by the help of the Holy Spirit to believe with all my heart on your behalf. Now, if I don't believe on behalf of you, then I'm a hypocrite standing here, and then my prayer is useless. Now, the same way that I believe, and Brother Renner believes, and Brother Kenny believes, and the congregation believes, beloved, we put that faith unto the Lord. And we pray the prayer of faith, and we believe that a person is going to be healed. All right. Now, most of these sicknesses, they are demons. And I will relate this and then call the brothers. Brother Branham had eyes to see. I don't have much, but I believe. And when a cancer patient came to him in that time, he used to look over and say, I see a dark shadow over you. He says, cancer. Then the camera took it one day, and they actually seen a dark shadow like an undertaker. So now Brother Branham explained, he says that all those sicknesses is a fourth dimension disease. He says, and every infirmity and every sickness, and he speak about cancer, he said there was a spirit. A demon of infirmity. He said, now that's the fellow that I am trying to work on and cast out. He said, now that demon is a life of the cancer. Whether it be leukemia or different kinds of cells in any part of your body, he says, now that is the life of that cancer. Because that cancer is not a natural part of your body. No. He said, there's a lump in there. And what it has happened is that a cell got damaged, and then after that, this demon come and start living in that cell. And living in that cell, it start building up and building up and building up until it become a big lump. Now, he say, if by the Holy Spirit you could believe for your healing, when that prayer of faith is made, he said, now that demon is cast out. He said, but the lump remains. Now, the lump is a natural lump. It's old flesh, he said, but it's dead. Because the spirit went out. But then this lump must decay and rot and leave your body. And that is going to take a few days to do it. He's explained healing like that. All right. And he said, you start doubting.
and say, well, boy, I tell you, I was prayed for, I felt so good, but now I feel worse than ever. He said, the demon is going to come back, and the cancer will revive. Now, that goes same way for leukemia. It is only many cells out there that the devil is controlling those cells and eating up the red blood corpuscles and whatever, but the demon is controlling all of that. Now, if you could believe that at the prayer plate, when these men lay their hands, Brother Branham, don't have to be here. We are talking about faith. With faith, all things are possible. Then they are going to charge that demon and command that demon to leave. Now, when he leaves, the cells might still be there, the doctors might still see it, but if you could hold faith long enough to believe that that cancer is dead, is gone, the life of it is gone, then you'll be healed. Now that is healing. Now if your faith is strong enough to believe that I could be instantly healed by a miracle, then friend, that's another thing. All right? There's an old lady, fisherman's wife, blessed old lady, and she had a cancer on her neck. The brethren from Bethel know that. A lump out here. She went to the doctor. The doctor said, come for your operation, such and such. You're diagnosed with cancer. That lady had so much faith. She just walked in a prayer line, and I asked her, I say, you believe you'll be healed? She said, I'll be healed. I just believe it. We prayed for her, my brother, and that lump disappeared. Now, that's a miracle. She went back to the doctor. She said, doctor, don't put any knife upon me. You know, check my neck before you cut me. So they come into the room. And when they wonder, they say, what happened? We haven't seen any cancer again. We have not seen any cancer. The woman walked from there, and I tell you, come back to Bethel, one communion. We asked her to testify. We heard that lady testify. Like if she had been there for many years. She was so happy. Taking communion after 2 or 3 years, I look at her, I see her neck flat down. Yes, no more cancer. Beloved, if the Lord could do that for that lady, he could do that for you. I don't see why the Lord would do that for one person. Yes, you say, well, the token ain't come here. That has nothing to do with it. Healing is the children's bread. Yes, and even a healing that come here and believe for the healing and be healed. Yes, only if you will believe it. So when the prayer of faith is made, you just believe in your heart. It's done, I was prayed for, and I am better. Even though a pain rises, still believe. That pain has nothing to do with your healing, because the demon went out. The demon went out. As well as you might feel instantaneous healing in your body, and you feel so good, then just glorify God that it is over. That is a simple approach in healing. Brother Branham said, his healing is so simple that we miss it 1,000 miles. We think we have to do something so big and great that you miss your healing many times. It is something so simple that you have the prayer of faith over you. He said, thank you, Lord, for healing me, and go back. Then tomorrow, don't doubt it. Next week, don't doubt it. Yeah, the cancer is there, and you can feel the pain. That don't mean to say you are not healed. Continue to confess. And there are stories where Brother Branham prayed for people in Africa. And a woman, yeah, confessed that healing. And you know, after 2 years, the woman was healed. Because she would not accept that she is not healed. She just believed that she is healed, and she is healed 2 years after, but again. And then the Lord come and heal the woman. But we don't want to wait for 2 years here. Let us release in our faith and believe for a miracle. Yes. I believe that if you could believe for divine healing, which is a process of time, believe the whole thing for a miracle one time. Yes, the work could be finished right tonight. I don't care how long it had been there and how many prayers was offered for you. You just believe that tonight is a night. And we are going to have it done. Let the musicians come and let us stand and refresh ourselves and so on. So we won't be tired and boring. You want to go out a little bit? No problem. Somebody want to go home? Feel free.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now, you know the Bible said, you shall lay hands upon the sick. Okay, you will go. You shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You know the Bible never said that you're going to pray when you lay on hands. Read the scriptures, though. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. It never said put your hands upon them and pray for a long time. Yes, your faith should be so strong that if the minister put his hands upon you, yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, yes, and send you back to your seat, you must be willing to accept that healing. The minister prays because sometimes or many times the people want to hear a prayer before they release their faith. And yes, but we should not be that way. And don't forget, laying on of hands is a Jewish custom. And the prophet of God said we have to pass that. So we will take the secondary way tonight, laying on of hands. Yes, sir. Laying on of hands. There were those that I preach a message in the congregation on the centurion servant recently home. And I said, I'm not going to lay hands tonight. You will sit on your seat, and if you believe, you will be healed. And many testimonies came out of it. Yes, I believe we are getting up there. The ministers should be preaching on divine healing right now on educating the people's mind for when that outpouring comes. We have the mechanics right there in Brother Bannon's message concerning healing. So the ministers should start studying that and exercising themselves and even preaching divine healing, that they will know how to do that when that token comes. Yes. Educate the people. Now. Educate themselves. Yes. I believe that any person that believes tonight, yes, by the laying on of hands could be healed and you could walk back to your seat right tonight. Give us a little song.
Lord, we stand in our midst right
now. He just moved in with a greater measure of the Spirit. Don't you feel him?
Come forward.
Offering, children.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Give you the praise, and we give you the honor. Give you the glory. Thank you for the word tonight. Thank you, Father, for this little message. Thank you for waking up the church in a special way. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Our Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Savior. We love you, Lord. We feel your spirit, Lord. We feel that faith arising, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, we want to change our attitude to the approach, Lord, of all these things. Oh God, we praise and we magnify, we glorify thy name. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Savior. You may be seated. And those, I don't want to have everybody standing too long, but all those for prayer who are, you know, on this end here, let me see your hands just a little. All right, I think we can take everybody in this side, Post Brother Kenny, and let them line up from that area and come this way, then we will go that way. So we'll come to the prayer line now. You are free. Oh, praise thee the Lord. Praise thee the Lord.
Thank you. powerful, powerful service. Now just think who's in your midst. The presence of the Lord. He's the God that healeth all our diseases. And I don't think I've ever been in a prayer meeting, a prayer line like that. And we're just going to go believing. And tomorrow when you get up, we'll be believing. And we just keep claiming our healing. And my throat feels better already. And I'm so happy to be prayed for. I'm claiming my healing. And I appreciate the words of life Brother Bruce expressed to us tonight. So simple. And we're following instructions. And how many have enjoyed this service tonight? Such a mighty, mighty, mighty blessing. So I'll ask you to stand. And remember service. Our next service will be on Sunday at regular time. And we should have a grand time in the Lord. So I'm going to ask our brother Greg to dismiss us. So we have tithes and offerings to pick up. Mike, can you come?
We thank the Lord for his presence.